The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, Comcast, Verizon, and Miller Lite. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And a pleasant good evening, everybody, and welcome into PNC Studios here at Hallis Hall. Welcome into the Coaches Show. Head coach John Fox, Jeff Joniak. We're with you until 7:30 tonight. Coach with us until 7 o'clock. Good evening. How you doing?
Doing okay.
Let's start out with some good news.
All right.
Got some good news. I mean, I'm sure you already know this, but saw it on Twitter just a little bit ago. Zach Miller out of the hospital.
Yeah, he said I talked to him this weekend, and he was scheduled to get out sometime tonight, and so that's great news.
What a stretch. 23 days in multiple hospitals. So keep getting strong, my friend, and hang in there. The teammates have all been talking about him and talking to him and so forth. When's the last time you talked to him?
Well, like I said, I talked to him over the weekend, and Friday he had his final surgery on his calf to close up the openings he has there, and so I know he was relieved about that. He felt good. He's in great spirits. He's such a tough mental guy that he's been great through it all. And it's been it's been rough. You know, there's no doubt, and he still has some time to go yet.
He'll be coming into the building, though, before the season's over, and that will be a special moment for him and his teammates and the whole building, because they all respect him.
No doubt. He's as well-respected of a guy as I've ever been with on any club.
News of the day. Let's dig into it. Forced to make a move at the kicking position with Connor Barth and the signing of Cairo Santos. Give us a little bit on each individual and how it all went down.
Well, it was a move that really we kind of looked into. It was just a matter of finding a viable replacement. We looked at Cairo, knew about him last week, and had him work out this morning, and he looked very good. He came off an injury that he settled with Kansas City. I know him from Kansas City, competing against him there for 4 years in that division. Similar conditions, in Arrowhead, as Soldier, so he's been an outdoor kicker. And he's got good accuracy numbers, so he was impressive in the workout. As far as Connor goes, I mean, I think he kind of saw it coming. He knew he didn't perform real well, and, everybody was disappointed about that. Those things are never easy, but, we feel good about the move.
It is the life of a kicker, obviously, and we've seen it time and time again. It does happen, but for a young team to have it happen yesterday, you could see it on everybody's face. It just ripped everybody's heart out.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of confidence had we been able to make that kick and get into overtime. It had been our third overtime game, and we've been pretty good in the other two. So, that was a tough way to lose a game, and, it always is. So they were great today in the meetings, and, very positive attitudes about moving forward.
Getting there, it was also something, getting in that position, Mitchell Trubisky with the scramble and then the throw really got some people's attention in terms of him being a gamer, and I think we're learning that's part of his makeup, obviously. But Josh Sitton, who we don't hear much from usually in the media, he was at the podium today here at Hallis Hall. We'll hear some comments from him later on in the show. But even a veteran like him, a grizzled veteran, he stood up and took notice of what Mitchell Trubisky did yesterday.
Yeah, I think they all love him. And, vets, young guys alike, because he is so competitive. He does work at it super hard. And, they've seen the improvement in these six games. And, I think every week he gets better. That play he made on 4th and 13 and that kind of a moment, I think it says a lot about, him and the guys around him.
Does a young team, can they take only so many hits in this regard in terms of close losses before they start looking in the mirror and say, man, what do we have to do?
I think, they're figuring out how hard it is to win in this league. And both, from a preparation standpoint, I love the way they attacked it last week and, off the disappointing Packer game. And, I think guys figured that part out. Now it's about, the four or five plays that happen in these games that, make the difference. And, we're able to point that out today. And I think they just have to live it. And I think they understand. And, their mindset's been great and their attitude's been great. So that's what's encouraging.
How are you handling it?
Well, I think, this game's only fun when you win. And so it hasn't been a lot of fun. And, for anybody. Fans, everybody out there, everybody. You know, but I still see it being, we're getting closer. You know, like you mentioned, we do have some young guys, and they're figuring it out along the way. And we leaned on a lot of those guys Sunday. You know, when you look at Adam Shaheen, you know, Tariq Cohen, and, you know, you mentioned Mitchell. You know, guys that are young, good football players.
Leonard Floyd is another one of those guys. Suffered a knee injury, collision with Kyle Fuller. It didn't seem like it was, you know, anything, but maybe two guys just banging kneecaps or something. That wasn't the case. But it sounds like from your afternoon news conference, it's not an ACL, which is no one wants to hear, because now you're talking about next August and all that business. So any update at this point, and, you know, where is that situation going?
Well, that was really the only news, really significant news I had to report. It's going to be some time, you know, till he can come back, if at all, the rest of this season. We'll kind of measure that as we go. But, you know, it was good to hear it wasn't the ACL, and it was MCL, PCL. So we'll require some work to get him fixed, but obviously better news than, you know, the total reconstruct.
And again, for young players, like we've seen with Kevin White, you've seen with a veteran player like Zach Miller, you know, you just hope the mental toughness of overcoming this stuff, because there is a rehab period. There's an absence from your team that a young guy can handle that. That's a part of being a professional, obviously, at this level. And not everyone does well with that. Do you think he will? Because last year he missed some games too.
Yeah, I think, you know, anytime you get injured, it's hard. You know, there's you know, anybody that's had surgery, any kind of surgery, you know, the recovery period, there's rehab. You know, when you're a professional athlete, I mean, it's not just getting it, you know, the wound healed. It's getting back into, you know, world-class athletic shape. So it's a lot of hard work, and anybody that's ever been through it understands that. And, you know, I think somewhere along the line, these guys do get injured, and they do understand it. It's a long road ahead.
When you talk to players afterwards, or even today, are you upfront with them about the process, or is it a rah-rah speech? Hey, can't hang in there. I mean, how do you talk to a young player that's been injured?
You know, obviously,
as the coach,
there's disappointment. You know, yeah, they put a lot of work into this, and, you know, Leonard was having a terrific day. You know, he was playing very, very well, one of his better games to date. You know, when this unfortunate thing happens, and you know, there's really disappointment. So you're kind of, you know, trying to get them back, you know, positive thinking. And, you know, I think the MRI news was, you know, not the best of all, but it could have been worse. And so he was, you know, pretty optimistic about that. And he knows it's a little bit of a road ahead. So you just encourage him, take a day at a time, and time heals all wounds.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continue.
As Trubisky fakes a throw to the left and banging up the middle, and free high. Chased to the 20, inside the 10, angles right out of bounds. And the Bears are inside the line, 5-yard line, on a big blast. Darius Slade chased him down. It's a 50-yard run for Jordan Howard. The J-train was moving.
Fourth 100-yard effort of the season, 15 carries, 125 yards, and he is our player of the game, brought to you by Xfinity. And let's talk more about Jordan Howard, because and some of the national countdown. So in the Monday night game, they're putting his highlights on, and you could hear the national guys, they love him. They love how he runs. You know, he's got sneaky speed. He's strong. He's not an easy tackle. All the things we've come to know about Jordan Howard. And right now, and he's honestly, you know, this is going to sound bad coming from me maybe, but he is the guy you can count on right now.
No doubt. You know, and I think, you know, obviously, like, we had our best offensive production as far as, you know, in four quarters. We'd like to have gotten to overtime. But, you know, part of that was the O-line being healthy, and our ability to run the ball let us open things up offensively. And, you know, Jordan's always a big part of that.
Crazy stat I read today. Third time in team history that a trio of runners, in this case Trubisky, Cohen, and Howard, ran for more than 200 yards. First time since 1966 that they gained 7.4 or more yards per rush on those 30 carries. I know that's a lot of math, but it's not normal. So that's why it sticks out. You know, that's some good work right there. Offensive line included, and your tight end Adam Shaheen did some really good things in the blocking game. Daniel Brown as well.
No doubt. You know, I think, you know, hopefully we can get Deion Sims back. That'll help that. Our offensive line can remain whole for 2 weeks in a row. You know, I think she saw some of the zone read things, and that, you know, where Mitchell, it opens up our run game. You know, both as him as a threat as a runner, and even it spreads it out and opens up some lanes. And you saw that, and you'll continue to see that moving forward.
People are in a comparative analysis all the time. A lot of it is because they love football. They see mm-hmm. some guy, a first-round pick here, or a second-round pick here, or a fifth-round quarterback here, do a good job. A lot of it's fantasy football-related and everything, and everybody assumes everybody knows that they can get on the field right now and contribute immediately. Everything's a process, though. So with Shaheen, you know, you hear, oh, finally he's catching passes. Well, that is a process. You first had to get the blocking thing done. Now he's got to get his own confidence and running routes, running properly. All that factors in. So eventually, over the course of a season, yes, you hope that they do start to have that arrow pointing up. And you could say that about these guys right now.
Well, I think any young player, I mean, you look at Goff and Wentz this year in their second year starting versus last year, you know, in their first year starting. I think, you know, Carson Wentz was 1-6 in close or one score games. There's a lot to the position. There's a lot to the mindset. And it takes a while to develop. You know, I think with most young players, sure, guys can come in and make splashes. And we've seen that on our own team. But, you know, it takes a minute to figure it out. Just like in any walk of life, I don't care if it's your job announcing or, you know, a media person reporting. You don't figure it out all in the first year.
In terms of the offense and how it looked to you from the sidelines, just the impact of that read, the read zone with Mitchell's ability, how does that, as a defense of coach, put everybody on notice a little bit and slow the whole process down? Even having Tariq on the field the same time with Jordan, the linebackers they stop a little bit, opens up some gaps, doesn't it? It's good.
Well, no doubt. I mean, in NFL football forever, till, you know, probably, I don't know, the last 8 to 10 years coming from college, nobody counted the quarterback. It was basically 11 guys versus 10 because the quarterback never ran. So a lot of defensive design was designed that way. Well, teams that do run the quarterback, it's, you know, it's different in the National Football League and in National Football League defenses, and you have to account for them. You know, just like mobility now has become way more important than it was 10 to 15 years ago. In containing a mobile quarterback. So it's not brand new to the NFL, but it is a dimension that does open up your run game and makes more lanes, and people have to account for the quarterback.
I don't mean to jinx it. No picks in 65 pass attempts for Mitchell Trubisky. Of all things, the ball security and protecting that football is job one, period, end of story. So that's a good thing for you right now.
Well, I think, you know, if you look at just the six games since Mitch has been the starter, you know, played some really, really good defenses. The worst thing could do to a young quarterback is tell him to drop back pass 40 times. You know, so you do try to minimize those things, you know, both for his confidence, you know, and his safety. And I think our coaches have done a great job with that, and he's starting to get better for it, you know, when you start looking at QBR. Not that that defines exactly how a guy plays, but each week he gets more comfortable, makes better decisions. We cut down the sacks. You know, we had 2 5-sack games back-to-back. We had 1 sack yesterday. So I think, you know, in my opinion, in every game he's gotten better, and, you know, we can add to his plate, and I think you'll see that moving forward.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Snap, Trubisky, pitch out left. Spurdy to the near side 10, to the 5, leaping into the end zone. Touchdown, Tariq Cohen. Touchdown, Bears. He went airborne. They thought about it for a second, then they threw their hands up for the touchdown. He was submarined on the play by Glover Quinn. He's in for the score on the pitch left.
And that tied up the game, setting up a dramatic finish. Another one at Soldier Field. All the home games have been right down to the wire, win or lose.
Yeah, that was an interesting one because I made eye contact with Gene Steratore, and it was, he just kind of went palms up, and I was like, you never know what the ruling is going to be. But luckily, that one went in our favor.
And we just talked about it off the air, but to think about it, go airborne, but switch the ball from one arm to the next for Cohen. That was a smart thing to do.
But yeah, I mean,
I wouldn't have thought of
that. I was just happy it made it through New York.
Cohen got a lot more snaps, so the roar for that was loud, obviously, from the week before. But 31 snaps and 13 touches and very productive.
Yeah, I think I think it was up from 11 a week ago. As far as his touches, I think he gets a lot of them. I mean, punt return, kickoff return, he plays running back, plays wide receiver. He has a lot of touches and he's done well with them.
Let's talk more about Shaheen. If you can kind of chart his growth, and obviously he's a big body, but he played Division II, so you got to learn how to functionally block and do it with the proper technique. He had an excellent block and a wide run. He and Charles Leno Jr. worked it nicely. Nice seam opened up. He's so big. But then running routes, if you haven't done it at the NFL level, that is an adjustment. But do you see the signs of this becoming a significant weapon for you?
Yeah, I think, he's got an opportunity. I mean, 2 weeks ago, he was the third tight end. It was Zach Miller, as well as Deion Sims. And Deion's been ill. Zach obviously is lost for the season. So, he and Daniel Brown and now Ben Broniker, have taken that load. So, it's a big level jump, I'd say from, where Adam went to college and to the NFL. And it takes a minute to figure it out. And he's done that. I think blocking, obviously, and even the speed of the people covering you, all right, in the National Football League, to get open, you have to be more exact and precise, and those windows are tight.
Eagles, are they the best team in football, in your opinion?
Well, I think right now, if you look at their offense-defense ratio, I think they're number one in scoring offense in the league, and I think eighth in scoring defense. So
it should be a layup Sunday.
In this league, on any given Sunday, I mean, it's just how it is. If we go play like we're capable of and make those four or five plays I'm talking about, anything can happen.
Tell us about what they're doing defensively, because they are stopping the run very well as well. They went into last night's game, I think 66 yards allowed on the ground on average. I know the Cowboys did run it a little bit, but they got the pass rush. They can rush it too, so they got a lot of good things going on, it looks like.
Well, they've got some good players, and they do attack upfield. I haven't dug into them too deep on defense yet. I've been looking at their offense. Like I know statistically, they've been vertical. Sprinter stance up the field for as long as Schwartz has been a coordinator, regardless of what program he's been with. So, and they've got talented guys, especially inside, that can wreck games. So we'll have our hands full for sure.
You looked at Carson Wentz, obviously everybody did. Is it impressive also from where he came from in college to what he's done in 2 years with Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think, where he played in college, they did a lot of no huddle. They did a lot of those types of things. So his exposure to, a pretty sophisticated offense was pretty good. Many of the same concepts. See, he's running with the Philadelphia Eagles. And he's year two in that experience as far as, the multiplicity of NFL defenses, the different personnel groups. It's just a different game in the NFL level than it is in college.
Have you put on the week two a year ago at Soldier Field when he came in and compared it to what he did last night, for example? Can you see a difference in things?
Oh, yeah. I think, the number of plays they're running now versus what they were at that point. I think he kind of flourished a little bit early. People started to figure him out, and then, people kind of clamped them down moving forward. When you look at his body of work in 16 as compared to the body of work in 17.
Well, the great equalizer is pressure. So if you continue to create pressure from your defense, make it a long day for a quarterback. It doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah, I think, we'll look at all those things. You got to look at the matchups. A lot of times when you bring extras, you're a little more vulnerable.
Exposed.
Yeah, we're exposed on defense. So we'll look at those things and see how we match up.
All right, John, thanks as always for joining us. Good luck this week.
Thanks, Jeff.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox, and this hour featuring offensive line coach Jeremiah Washburn, brought to you by PNC, Comcast, Miller Lite, and the Village of Bedford Park. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Anytime you have your whole group together, you're going to be more successful. We have more reps and invested as a whole group together, and when I'm able to play next to Cody, I'm used to his blocks more than I am with Aronis. It's just purely, it's a numbers thing.
That's Jess Sitton earlier today here at Halas Hall at the podium meeting the media after the Bears' loss at Soldier Field yesterday to the Detroit Lions. Welcome back to PNC Studio here at Halas Hall at 7:04. Joined now by Jeremiah Washburn. Good evening. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And, you know, you're talking about what every offensive lineman and every offensive line coach in the league hope for is just continuity with the guys you believe in, the five guys you start with. You hope to play them all 16 games in every snap. That doesn't work, obviously, for everybody. In fact, it's pretty rare to have that kind of good fortune with injuries and whatnot. But they had the interior three back together yesterday, and from your perspective, how did it look and feel?
It was an improvement. It is good to have continuity is one of the biggest things in this league, particularly with the offensive line. It's just like Sid alluded to, I think just developing a feel for calls, the way guys fit blocks, that is a big deal. It has been a big deal for us this year. And so just the degree of continuity with the main interior three being there, there was an improvement with the production of the group.
Even for Cody not having to move around within games like he's had to and everything. And I talked last week, we had Ben Wilkerson on, your assistant offensive line coach. Just the magnitude of that for an offensive lineman, no matter what their skill set is, whatever their mental acuity is for playing offensive line, it's still right, left, it's still snapping, it's still taking on different types of blocks.
It is, and it is. It's a big deal. Honestly, just and particularly for Cody, because his attitude has been fantastic through this year. And going back to training camp, you know, he spent 2 weeks at guard. and then, you know, gosh, we had a Tampa game where he went from center to left guard to right guard. And, you know, not making an excuse for him, but it certainly does slow the development of your primary position where you're just learning the basic fundamentals of that. And so, you did see a step forward with him yesterday. It was probably one of his best games of the season, just in terms of how he's able to strike, finish blocks at the second level, things of that nature at the center spot.
Some really good holes opened up for the run game yesterday, better than 200 once again in a variety of ways. And the read option, obviously, with Mitchell Trubisky being able to do that. What changes for the guys up front when he does that?
Not a lot. We don't change much at all. It does require some adjustment for the perimeter guys, and we do have a really good group of perimeter blockers, meaning the tight ends, the receivers. They do a really good job, and so that's the biggest change for them when we do call those types of runs.
Tell us how hard a season it's been for Kyle Long, just because of the pains, the aches, the issues coming back from an ankle. It could not have been an easy journey.
No, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Kyle. What he has dealt with going all the way back to the middle of last season, this offseason, the attitude he's had through it, he has my utmost respect for how he's handled this. And he's not, you know, he's such a prideful person, and he's not, you know, he's not playing, I wouldn't say not playing at the level. He's playing at a really good level. But he's not, you know, feeling the health that I know he wants to feel. But, you know, the fact that he's out there, you know, playing with the intensity and the focus that he has, I just have the utmost respect for him.
The Bears Coaches Show with offensive line coach Jeremiah Washburn and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
By the word you use, confidence, like once you do it a couple times, you kind of get that feeling. You get the confidence that the guy next to you is going to do it at the end of the game. And, you know, this game in the NFL comes down to one score most of the time. And, you know, you got to be able to win it at the end.
That is Bears offensive lineman Josh Sitton, a veteran who's been around a while. So even he sometimes admitting that it's a little puzzling how teams can't finish, but it is a learned behavior. Jeremiah Washburn with us here for a couple of more segments up until 7:30 tonight here on the Bears Coaches Show from PNC Studio. I think it is anyway. You've been around a long time. Your dad's been a coach. You've been in football your whole life. Is closing games for a young team a learned behavior?
Absolutely, yes. Yes. and if you had the secret formula, I mean, obviously you would wave that magic wand right now, but you do see it coming with this group, and this is not just optimistic talk. I mean, you do feel it. When I was in Detroit, we had a similar stretch, and you know, we inherited a team in 08 that was 0-16. And that was the biggest challenge, was that sense of belief that you could close out games and win the close games, because we have certainly had our fair share here. It is something that you do feel like is getting closer and closer every time we play.
When you have a team that was winless, what do you say to them then next year? Because, yes, the slate is wiped clean, but in their minds, maybe not. So is there a big mental aspect of it as well from a coaching perspective to get them to overcome whatever it is that's stopping them?
Yeah, there is, and it's a belief in the basic fundamental of what you do, and that's ultimately where we won and lost games this year is you know, you end up losing on a whatever it is, not to go back through them all, but
right.
You do have to just reinforce that there's nothing magic about it. It's just the basic fundamental of your position and of your job and being able to finish out games doing that.
When you go to your room with the fellas, the coach's room, offensive line room, which is the first room out of the foyer here at Hallis Hall, probably for good reason. It's the offensive line. They want everything on their shoulders. When the losses continue to sting like they do yesterday, certainly stung, do you feel you have to come up with, or you feel you're taxed with something creative to get them to believe? Do you, or you just go back to the tape and show them and that's enough? I mean, or do you have to do both?
Both is probably the answer. I think the thing that resonates with NFL players the most is honesty and candor. And so I think the guys, just giving them the awareness of what is winning and losing games for us. You know, whether it's, I don't know, penalties, efficiency, you know, hits on the quarterback, whatever that is, you know, it's just reinforcing the things that are winning and losing for us. And I think the transparency with the players, it does resonate with them a little bit.
Listening to Sitton today, something he said caught my attention significantly. He said when he got here last year, right before the season, you weren't here, obviously, it was Charles Leno Jr. who basically told him what to do. Like, he's the guy that got him to understand the offense and what their responsibilities were, and continues to work with him in that regard. It could be by virtue of the fact now they're both on the left side together or whatever the case may be, but that it's Charles Leno Jr. tells me he's taken a step beyond maybe what most people perceive from the outside. Yes, you just get a new contract and he's your starting left tackle and he's been a durable performer there, but a leadership component is there for Charles.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've become quite fond of Charles. Just, you know, his day-to-day consistency and his professionalism, and he has developed into a highly competitive player for us, and he is a team guy, which is, you don't always get that with left tackles. I think his time playing with Jermon Bushrod really helped him, because that's the same way Bush is. Just my brief time with him in Miami. And so he has developed those type of habits. And as far as reliability with assignments, you know, being an energy spark for the offense, those types of things, he's really developed into that.
When you say left tackles in general, is it that they don't want to play ball as being a part of a group in terms of being a team guy, or if they're in their own little world?
Yeah, most left tackles are out there on their island.
Yeah.
And, hey, just tell me the call, I'll get my job done type guys. And, you know, I mean, gosh, the first left tackle I was around in this league was Jonathan Ogden. And it was just the nature of him. Yeah, but tell me who to block. Tell me the assignment. I'll get it done. But and a couple other guys that I've worked with in the past, but Charles is for the group, he's for the team, and he asks great questions in the room, those type of things.
What types of things do you, if you care to share, that you look at in terms of your guys, not just the statistics that everybody sees, but are there things that you evaluate?
Welcome back to the two.
That you keep a running tally of in that room. For guys to shoot for, like the special teams guys, they have something to shoot for. They have, you know, points that they get. Anything unique in your room?
We do have a little weekly reward, I guess, weekly award. I'll It's our deal, but we do something, and it's for the I would say it's for the guy that executes his job the best that week. But we do, and it is the little things of the offensive line position that the guys really recognize and are looking to improve on, and so that's it. To be honest, there's really not much else. I mean, it's just the intricacies of playing offensive line, and the guys in the room appreciate it, and probably nobody else outside does.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox continues exclusively on the home of the Bears. News Radio on 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Here at PNC Studio at Atlas Hall, our remaining moments with Jeremiah Washburn. I'll hit you with a couple before we let you go, and we'll get back to John Fox here in a moment. Jim Schwartz, that's your opponent this week. You work for them, obviously, in Detroit, so you know his defense pretty gosh darn well.
Yeah. Jim is... worked for him for 5 years in Detroit, and it's similar scheme, not the exact same, but simplicity is the key with Jim's defense, and they're playing at a fantastic level right now, aggressive up front, and opportunistic on the back end. But when you play his defense, you know you've got to be on your tendencies, you've got to be on it with your technique and the scheme, all those things.
You're a son of a coach, and you both coach together, and he's a defensive line coach, Jim Washburn. Everybody knows him, and it's followed the game. You settled on the offensive line. Interesting conversations, I'd imagine, over the years at the dinner table.
Very, very interesting. No, we coached together for a couple of years in Detroit. I was there first, and then he came along, and we've had some ruckuses break out at some mini camps, and then you go to my son's flag football game, and all's well. I mean, he's dad again, but... You know, we've had some great times coaching together, and it's awesome. Get a text after the game of things we did well and things we can work on, and it's been a blessing growing up the son of a D-line coach.
I also understand you got a little Phil Jackson in you, because Phil Jackson, every year the Bulls and the Blackhawks go on these circus trips, and he'd give his team something, a book to read. So they had a read on the circus trip for 2 weeks, but you like to have your guys read a little bit, don't you?
I did, yeah. We got them a book in training camp. It was great. Kyle was the one that said something about it, but we did. It was Make Your Bed by Admiral McRaven. It was just a good way to start off training camp. I thought you were going to, like, I do have a Phil Jackson impersonation, but I won't do it right now.
Oh, okay. Well, you can give it a shot. You got 30
seconds. No, I'm okay on that one. No, I'll do that every so often because we have a triangle call, so I'll give I'll do a little Phil Jackson in the room.
That worked in the NBA. Does it work in the NFL?
It does sometimes. It does sometimes. That's right.
Sounds good. All right, we're going to let you go. Really appreciate it. Enjoyed talking to you.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Wish we had more time with you.
Absolutely.
That's Jeremiah Washburn, the Bears offensive line coach. Head to Punta Cana, Dominican Republic with Apple Vacations and your favorite Bears players this February. Visit applevacations.com/Bears for more info. That'll do it tonight for John Fox, Jeremiah Washburn, Dan Barilli, Jim Padgett, Andy Gersher, and Keith Johnson. I'm Jeff Joniak. Bears Eagles Sunday at 9, kickoff at noon. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM.